You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The crew is in the building. My man Jay Moore repping Hillman. How are you, sir?
Doing well, you know. Peace, freedom, and reparations for all that deserve it.
That's right.
Shout
right
out on. Dwayne Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Dwayne and Ron, too. Show Ron some love. My man Longevity, how are you, sir? Hey, buddy.
Doing all right. How are you?
Doing good, man.
Great.
Nice hoodie.
Thanks.
All right. DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations, what's going on?
How's everything, brother?
Everything is everything. Shout out to Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm here on time.
Yeah, you definitely here on time. Can't say that about a lot of people these days, but it is good that you are on time and enthusiastic, brother. We appreciate that.
Thank you, thank you. You're far too kind.
All right, man. Let's talk about lateness. Please tell me y'all. I got an argument about this stuff.
No. I know you
about to go off. Did you see Lauryn Hill's speech about people should be grateful that she even shows up to these events and things of that nature? Did y'all peep that? Because she
should be grateful that people are showing up to the events to help her pay these bills.
I thought that, but apparently she sees it the other way around.
Hey, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Because she came on the stage and she's, you know, saying y'all are saying she's late. She's late a lot. She says, y'all lucky I make it on this stage every night. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's basically preaching to the crowd saying, y'all lucky I'm out here. And she's talked about God and stuff that she's been going through. So I look at it from this standpoint. If you are a person that's dealing with an illness or there's something that may alter you being able to show up on time, or you might have to cancel shows here because you're sick or something like that, that's one thing. But if you just late off GP every time you come to a performance, that ain't it. Like, nah. there's no way to justify that.
Yeah, imagine right? calling your job every day and just being late and then just being like, y'all lucky I'm coming to some.
What, hey Jay, I know this bothered you when you saw this, because you've been open about Miss Hill and her lateness, and I see you shaking your head now, man. What were your thoughts on her speech?
You know, it's always, you know, it's a lack of accountability.
Okay.
That bothers me, you know, because if you have some issue to where, like, you physically have a hard time making it there, like, you know,
that's my point.
You know, there are people who are, you know, sick or crippled or something like that. Then it's one thing. But even they, like, factor in, you know, I got to go to the doctor, or I got to make sure I have my Medicaid. And they still find a way to make it on stage.
Thank you.
You know, and don't bring God into your foolishness.
Thank you.
You know, that has nothing to do with why, you know, you're supposed to be on stage at 9:30 and you got there at 11:15 or whenever you decide to make it. And the thing is, in entertainment, we, especially in hip hop, we expect sometimes people are just going to be late. There are going to be things that are shuffled. But, like, this is what she is known for, showing up late. Sometimes not even performing. Like, you know, I remember somebody told me, like, she there in the Bay Area sometime, and it was like, oh, Lauryn Hill. This is when she wasn't performing a lot. And she showed up there with, like, an acoustic guitar and read some poems and started crying. And it was like, if you were really that big of a fan of Lauryn Hill, it wouldn't have bothered you. But I was like, I paid good money for this. Yeah. And the thing is, it's not like she's getting out there, you know, charging $15 a ticket and she's barely taking home anything. Like, Lauryn Hill by herself makes as much as $500,000, you know, a performance. You got to understand, especially with her fans at this point, considering she hasn't put out a record in well over 20 years, and those people have taken the ride with her. Like, these are people, you know, who are my age. They got jobs. They got kids. They got to get to soccer practice. They got to get up in the morning, you know, and you are taking those people who still are willing to support you, despite the fact that you haven't produced any art in a long time. I mean, you off here and there, maybe a verse on a Nas record or something.
Which was
or
fire.
No. Yeah, we talked about
that record was
it.
Fire.
But at the same time, it's like
late on that too.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you have to have respect for your audience.
Well, she made a tweet, and, you know, this was back prior to this speech, where she said she was dealing with some vocal strain and that she, you know,
then cancel the show.
Thank you.
Well,
just can't
double-edged sword because you know you cancel the show and you don't come, you don't show up. I mean that's her thing though. So that affects people wanting to buy a ticket because it's almost like I'm taking a gamble if she's even going to be here. I remember when she came here. That's the reason why I wasn't excited about going because I didn't know if she's going to show up or not.
Yeah, she was only like an hour or something late.
Only like an hour.
That's modest
like,
for her.
Yeah, that's you know. And so, like, when she showed up, on, like, it got to a point where, like, the DJ, he was trying to hide. And I was like, she's not coming.
Mm.
You know, or else, like, and it was a Tuesday night. I was like, at a certain point, I was like, well, I know I got to leave and get to work. I have too many friends who are artists. You know, they don't have the luxury of just being artists.
Right.
You know, they have a 9-to-5. They got something that they got going on. They got to maintain a household,
yep.
You know, without the luxury of having nannies or cooks or a personal chef or anything like that, you know, and they're able to show up and put on a show, you know, service their audience and not insult them by saying you should be glad I even showed up here at all. That's probably the thing that bothered me.
Yeah, I think
most.
That's what bothered me is because
can you imagine if Jay-Z said something like that?
He would never say nothing like that. I think that's exactly what bothered me about her, the whole situation, because you can even have physical ailments or mental health or things like that that are keeping you from going out there. But it's all about the delivery and how you're saying it. So I can go out on stage and be like, hey, y'all, I apologize. I be going through certain things that makes it hard for me to come out here some nights, that makes me tardy, and I appreciate y'all for rocking with me. You know what I'm saying? You got to thank these people. You even addressed you've been touring playing the same songs over and over and over. And she went on to blame that on people didn't come to her for something else.
She said nobody came to her about a follow-up project.
Why would somebody have to come to you for a follow-up project?
I'm sorry, but I don't want to hear excuses about you being upset at people. Those people don't work at that rate. At that
come on, man.
Anymore.
Good point. You're the good one point. That penned that album.
You are
allegedly.
You're Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Where's the next Lauryn Hill?
Where's the next Lauryn? I heard Robert Glasper had some choice words about that album.
Well, he was very upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very upset.
But
that's probably part of the reason why there isn't a part two.
It might be. But still, you can't blame that on other people when you had the album of the year. And it's an album of the year that actually held up because, I mean, there's plenty of albums of the year that come and go and you never hear that album again. Her album, the quality of the album has held up since it came out. And that's on you for not being able to come up with something else. I mean, you could have dropped a flop after that. At least give it the old college try
And this first one was still going to go.
It was still
going
to go. And people would have still lined up and waited for you to drop another one.
Yeah.
I mean, because D'Angelo is one of those artists.
Yes.
But he at least gave you, four albums now at least? I mean, there was a lot years in between a few of those albums.
But he did put out at least three or four.
He still put out them albums, and he did a Versus.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A Versus that really wasn't a Versus, but, I mean, he's still out here.
And the thing is, it's like, look, man, once again, it goes back to, you know, all of us have friends who are creatives, and, like I said, they don't have the luxury of being able to spend their entire day or a month or a year creating. You know, you were a member of the Fugees, you won all these Grammys, you were able to tour the world, make all this money. Even if you just worked on a song a year, you know, you'd have been able to give us a couple albums by now.
We would have had almost a Jeezy release by now.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, I don't have that same, it's hard for me to empathize with somebody who really their only job. I mean, of course, being a mom and all that, and I'm not trying to dismiss that, but you can sit by the water and write songs and know that your bills are going to be paid. You be straight.
Yeah.
We all have friends who are like, man, I'd love to be writing songs right now, but I got to go ahead and make sure the lights stay on. So I got to do this for 8 hours a day. If I have a little bit of time in between taking care of my children and paying attention to my wife and maintaining a household, maybe I'll have 30 minutes or an hour to, you know, maybe get on the beat machine, play my guitar, or write songs. You know, when you have the luxury of creating art at your leisure and you're on here saying you should be lucky that I'm even on this stage at all is a wildly ungrateful thing to say. And honestly, you know, at this point, I'm never going to pay any money to see Lauryn Hill for, you know, you could give me a ticket to the show and I'm not going.
You going.
I'm going to go.
Who else is going to be there?
I'm going to go.
I'm going. Yeah, at least you are.
I'm at a point in my life where my time.
I'm going.
My time is just worth so much more than that.
I can dig it.
And I'm not going to see someone who says I should be grateful that they even show. You should be grateful there are still people willing to come see you. And you
bring some tomatoes with you.
You haven't.
Even fix her mouth to say something like that.
Look, I saw all those people clapping, and I'd have booed her just like I'd boo. I would boo Ice Spice.
The crowd was gassing her up. Now they was out there. You thought she was in church the way they was clapping every time she was talking.
And somebody was trying to stop her. Did you see the lady on stage?
She was trying her best
to pull her away. Like, come on now, this ain't the place.
To your point about the people that we know in the creatives, I was just talking to one of the homies this morning. He had just flown out to LA to perform, and he was like, "Man, I barely got any sleep. Man, I was rehearsing. As soon as I got in town, we rehearsed for this, we rehearsed for that. I had to perform at 11 o'clock the following night. We were out there 2 days before, practicing and running through the set and coming up with a set. I didn't even sleep for X amount of hours. They still showed up on time."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just common decency. It's courtesy. You know what I'm saying? It's accountability, to your point. Because we always talk about artists don't technically owe us anything, or certain artists have done enough where they can just do whatever, but actually performing and showing up to a show on time, you owe that.
You owe.
You owe that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's just a part of. You should be able to show up.
And I understand, like, if you know, something travel-wise, you know,
bus
got stuck in Buffalo because it was, you know, it was snowing and a plane got, you know, stuff like that. I get it.
Man.
But, like, when you just don't show up, like, you stay in the hotel too long talking to people or whatever, there's just a lot of dumb reasons why artists feel like they can show up late. And it's like, somewhere along the line, as an audience and as ticket-buying folks, we got to be like, no, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, you got to show up and show out. I remember this was a concert in Cincinnati, when they do the summer concert, the Jazz Fest or whatever.
Yep.
Usher was probably about an hour late, maybe an hour and a half.
He was a headliner.
As soon as he hit the stage, though, he got busy. You know, and I think it had something to do with his travel and things of that nature. But it wasn't like, I'm about to get out here and show my ass by saying, y'all should be happy I'm even here. He got up there and went to work. You know what I'm saying? You see where that's led him, because that's his work ethic. So now he's in Vegas. Now he's performing at the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? He's an artist. So you're supposed to get up there and show your artistry when somebody pays to come see you.
I can respect the artist to Terry's point, if you're late, if you're behind, and you just come out on the stage and like, let's get to it. That's, to me, you're telling me my fault, y'all. Let's go ahead and get busy. That's the way I take it as a consumer.
But
and
you plus, can't be you. You ought to be lucky that I came out.
And plus, Lauryn Hill's show at this point isn't good enough to where she can get up there and tell people, you should be honored that I even showed up here at all.
Mm-hmm. That's wild.
We're gonna get you a ticket.
No, like I said, I'm literally gonna flip the ticket. I'd sell it to somebody.
Oh, man.
I'm not going.
But you've seen her before, though.
I've seen her before, and that was enough. And like for her to have this kind of attitude, like things like that,
what a prize with her.
Why is anybody enthused about that?
Yeah,
Long Mike.
Why? You know he doesn't care.
He's trying not to say it right now.
She is perpetually disrespecting her fan base that has ridden with her for over 20 years. There's no. She needs to sit down. Is what she needs to do. It's disrespectful to me, and I'm not even a fan.
Right.
Like to have the audacity to say you're lucky. Like, people that paid money to go see somebody, it take away the artistry, and who cares what she's going through? I don't care. I don't care what you're going through.
We know, Long.
We do.
But it doesn't matter. No, like, I don't. If when it becomes a pattern, you know, and yes, sure. But people that are going to buy tickets, yes. Do I think that they should complain that she doesn't show up on time? Nah, because you know at this point that's what she's going to do.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, she is constantly disrespecting her fan base.
Her own fan base.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And, like, to have the audacity, to what Terry said, to what you said as well, Jay, like, to have the audacity to kind of put the onus on the other person, like, how dare you?
Yeah,
like,
that's crazy.
Like, sit down. Like, yeah, like, what kind of arrogance is that?
Like, you don't feel like that performing. Is extremely
don't
arrogant.
Don't get up. Don't say, "Yeah, I can't do it tonight." And tell people that in enough time to where they can make other plans,
or at least have bingo cards at every show that everybody can guess what time she's going to come, and the closest person get something.
And more importantly, do it with in a respectable manner where they can get refunds for the tickets if you're not going
to
show up.
You're wasting. I mean, maybe I'm just sensitive to people wasting my time. So it's like to Jay's point. It's just like you're like disrespecting people's time. Even if they can get their money back, you're wasting time. And that's the one thing that I don't do.
You know, and look, like I said, of course, on a much smaller level. I just remember I had a few years ago, had something very tragic to me happen on Wednesday going into Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically I was a mess the whole day, but I was like, it was already promoted that I was going to be somewhere that Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, that probably wasn't the best thing for me. I probably should have been like, hey, I can't make it, guys. I'm sorry. You know, in my mind, it was like, hey, it was announced I was going to be here. I'm going to do this. You know, I know they're paying me to do it, and then the show must go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so
a similar situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, man, I'm sorry. I look, if people go through things, you know, either tell them you can't do it, don't show up at all, but don't get on stage and say I would never have gotten on stage that night and said, man, I've been going through it. You're lucky that I'm here.
But even if you did, that would be reasonable it's the fact that she's made a career out of this.
Yeah. Career.
Like, if something happened to her and this was the first time she's like, man, y'all lucky I even showed up. I can at least be like, oh man, she went through some stuff. But the fact that this has been happening consistently for over a decade.
Two decades.
That's what I mean. Like,
to be indignant about
it. Just shut up and sit down. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Have some couth.
Telling you to sit down.
But I mean, nah, it's arrogance,
that
man.
That ain't right, Lauren. It just ain't right.
Yeah, I'm a huge Lauryn Hill fan, but this ain't it.
And
this
the people is who not clap, it. Who clap for what you said, those people,
nah, those people marks. Are
losers. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, nobody, I'm not that big enough of a fan to excuse such poor behavior.
Nah, right is right, man, and wrong is wrong. And she's wrong in this instance.
But if you still want to support her, good for you.
Yeah,
go
to the show if you want to go, but.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have anything to do the next day.
Yeah.
Because you're definitely going to be there for about 6 to 8 hours.
You're going to be there for a while. Your feet are going to hurt.
Take a flask with you.
You know.
That'll help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that would be the only way. If you gave me a free ticket to Lauryn Hill and I had the day off the next day, then maybe I'd consider it.
Plus a flask.
I mean, well, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do. Man.
It's like Dave Chappelle said, man, don't tell me how to get to Sesame Street. I wouldn't go if I knew the way.
Well. I was going to say shout out to Lauryn Hill, but no, she don't deserve that. Do better is what I'm going to say.
Just do better. That's all it is. Just do better. You have plenty of time to do better.
Think about all the other creatives you know that go out of their way to make sure that people, you know, get their money's worth. Who are you and what have you accomplished to where you can be this arrogant? It'd be one thing.
It doesn't matter who you are or what you don't matter.
It doesn't even matter.
Think about Princeton's show. Did Princeton do stuff like this?
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter if anybody has done it in the history of the world. Like this is just bad.
This is bad across the board.
I guess at the end of the day, you know, it's not like
if Michael Jackson came out. God rest his soul. If he came out and was like,
he's also
y'all
wrong.
Should be lucky I be here.
You cannot be known for that. I mean, I've seen Jay-Z multiple times. I actually bought a ticket to the Jay-Z's Unfinished Business Tour with R. Kelly, which was canceled before it made it here. But I've seen him multiple times. That wasn't his mantra or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He didn't. That's not what he built his career off of, just being late and canceling shows. It happened to be with R. Kelly, and R. Kelly was kind of hard to work with at the time, so they had to cancel the tour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that I got this tour coming and I'm canceling it every time. Imagine your artist being known for that.
This is the thing, man.
That's unacceptable, man.
At the end of the day, as an artist, this is for Lauryn Hill, Jay-Z, Nas, anybody. Whoever. You're not curing cancer.
No. Yeah. All right? Even if you are.
You're not curious. Whatever.
I'm going to give you a pass on that.
What you do is not so very important. In the grand scheme of the world, that you should have this kind of entitlement.
It's just the entitlement aspect. I just don't do that.
Yeah.
I just don't do it. I don't care who you are.
It ain't right.
She's coming off 100% arrogant and entitled.
Yeah.
And then she turned it into crocodile tears.
Yeah.
Don't bring Jesus
mentioned a whole bunch of stuff that ain't have nothing to do with what you
being. I say it all the time in the comments. Go to therapy. I know it sounds like I'm being very angry towards Lauryn Hill, who happens to be a woman, who happens to be black, but I would say this to anybody.
Yeah, if you're going through it, yeah, man, go to therapy.
Therapy's
man.
Good. Continue.
You know,
ask Charlamagne.
There are people.
You know, Charlamagne gonna tell you 100 times on his show.
There are people who I know have become better individuals, better parents, better artists,
yeah,
because they've gone to therapy, you know. Ooh.
But she's got to get the money, I guess. I don't know what else she's doing. What else is Lauren doing?
I mean, she really ain't got to do nothing else
at this point. Yeah,
I mean, if she's making $500,000 a show that she shows up late to, I mean,
wonder, talk about being in an awkward position as the venue. Have to deal with this constantly and be
they
like,
probably got some kind of insurance.
I was about to say, there has to be a clause or something.
Probably a Lauren
like
Hill clause.
If you come in here 6 hours late, fam, we might give you $100 till you go on your way. You know what I'm saying? Like, huh, and get on about it. There's no way I would book her as a venue without some type of clause. There's no way. You're not about to play me and get $500,000.
Sure. That's in the contract somewhere.
Has to
sure.
be. Has, and it's a specific clause for her.
And this might be something that she might have to pay the venue.
Yeah. There's no way you about to get scam me for $500,000.
It's like you get your deposit and then like you may not get any more of the money if you show up. Because then once again, a lot of these are union shows. So you have to be considerate of the people who are actually working in these venues
come
because
on,
you
come
go
on
into overtime
come
and
on
then
now.
That eats into their and then it eats into your band's money. Do you know what I'm saying? Because then you know you're going to get yours, but then like what they can pay you, those fees come out of the performers. In a lot of cases, come out of the performers pay. You know, but then they pass that on to not paying the band. So like this, she's just sorry, Lauren. What you do is inconsiderate and wrong. That's really all it boils down
hey,
to.
Hey, Lone said it, man.
Stop
I don't care who it is. Do right. Do no, better.
Just stop it.
Hey, man, if Jesus was doing this, I would have to have a conversation with him.
Be like, look, man, what you did with the two fish and bread was cool. But,
let's,
you know,
stop wasting my time. It,
you know, doors were at 7:30.
I know you've been walking
show
on water.
Show was supposed to start at 9.
Man, I know you've been walking
he's
on water.
He didn't get here until 11:15. You know what I'm saying? This is a union show.
If this is the route you want to go, you know, I don't know if I can follow you anymore.
He said, bless him, folks.
He said doors were at 7:30. Hey, yo, maybe this is just a hip. It may be a rock thing. It may be a folk or festival thing. But with hip hop, doors never means anything. I never take
no,
any.
I
don't care what the flyer says. I don't care about none of that because I know it's going to be an hour and a half later before anybody hits.
But
the
that's
state.
Standard.
It depends where you go.
Is that yeah. standard?
Go to Look, Trees.
Well, like I said,
everything's on time.
Well, that's
every year.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, yeah.
You got me there.
But like when I go to a show, I never, but I know that okay. Just be, we all know the doors doesn't mean okay. As soon as they open the doors, we're gonna start.
We know that, but I'm just saying. Sometimes you'll see doors open at 7:30, show starts at 9, and it still don't start to 10:30.
Got a little bit of buffer time.
Yeah, like you know,
yeah, for sure.
So, I'm not saying this is exclusive to Lauren Hill, but she's the only artist who'll get on stage and say something as crazy as you're lucky.
Hey,
if you're out here
doing what she's doing, you whack. So. It's unacceptable.
But hope it. It's better for you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Look, whatever it is she's going through.
Take a deck of cards and a folding chair or something next time you go. Y'all play something, spades, get you a table or something, because it's going
to
be a while.
Look, whatever she's going through to where, like, she thinks this is acceptable, once again, I hope she is able to work through it and realize, hey, I'm wrong.
Man,
she needs to sit down with Oprah.
Sit down with who?
Oprah.
She'd be late to that, too.
Been not you know, playing with Oprah time.
Yeah, you don't play with Oprah.
You get all you can sit down
you
with Oprah.
You got some problems now.
Come on,
yeah. You mess around. Don't play. You play with
Oprah.
That's
Oprah's
the
time. Last person you want to show up late to. Not Oprah Long. Mm-hmm. She'll be there on time for Oprah.
Because all these years she had to fight.
Keep going.
That's it.
Okay.
All right.
Yo, man.
She
and that's not
it.
Funny. It's not funny.
She ain't gonna take it.
The part is not funny, but that he's still.
She ain't gonna have it.
Yo, what's up with you, man? That's a dramatic scene, man.
Hey, man.
Oh,
my
goodness.
We literally just had this conversation about there's certain parts of movies that shouldn't be funny, but unfortunately are.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. Yeah, that's he was going through it, though, man.
All my life, I had to fight.
Color Purple, right?
Good job, Lone. I knew. I knew you knew that.
Crocodile
one.
Tears involved.
Oh
right?
My God, man.
We just set them up for a movie promo for the Christmas season.
Yeah, the criminal version.
I'm not going.
Yeah, that and we was talking about.
No,
because Lauren Hill's in it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it
wouldn't come out on criminal.
Yeah,
that might come out in August the next year. Lauren Hill was on.
Yeah, Santa Claus always on time.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Saw this on YouTube. Shout out to West Side Gun.
What'd you see, Michael?
Well, I saw West Side Gun. He was sitting down on an interview with Rap Radar.
Okay.
He said something that caught my attention as it relates to how he markets his artists.
He got on a whole purse, huh?
A whole pocketbook. I'm gonna play.
I wonder if he has chicken salad in it.
Yeah. Once again, pocketbook.
He might have some mints and some little strawberry candies.
I want you to
some
know.
Werther's even.
I want Lone to know.
Uh huh.
I want you to know that picture, my inbox, I got blown up.
You brought it on yourself.
And people are cheering you on for making that. I want you to know.
As
that.
They should.
People want.
Thank you.
I mentioned Discord in the post. People want access to be able to use that so bad.
Yeah.
But I love that they have to actually get into Discord to use it. We're not giving this out for free. So if you want to troll me, you got to come to join the community.
Yeah, pay
get
to
in
play.
Discord, and then you can use that mug all you want.
Yeah.
But people want to use that so bad. So thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
And people are judging me around America now.
I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I know you are. You love that, don't you?
Yeah, once again, what'd you say earlier?
Do better. Accountability and do better, man.
Yeah, yeah. So that's...
Don't lump me in with Lauren, though.
Too late.
What I'm doing is what... Gonna do your boy like that, man.
Hey, man.
What's worse, Lauren showing up late or me eating chicken salad? Now, y'all be honest. Be real now.
I'm you calling the police chicken on salad you.
Are you...
At
are
a Lauren Hill concert waiting for her to
Lone,
come out.
Who would you call the police on first? Now, you know me a long time. Lauren Hill or me? Jay Moore, you shouldn't even have to think about that.
I mean, being late is wrong and disrespectful.
It's wrong.
But you eating chicken salad in a movie theater, I'm sorry. I think I might have to call the police.
Lone, who you going to call? What you going
to... Or at least an usher. I'd be like, hey, dog, get the dude with chicken salad out of here.
No, wow. Who you going to call? What you going to call, Lone?
Definitely the chicken salad in a movie theater. Because I'm not even going
over
to...
Over Lauren Hill?
I'm not engaging with Lauren at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to that show in the first place.
I'm not putting myself in a situation to be disappointed by her. But if I go to a movie theater on my own volition to enjoy something, and then somebody decides to eat a chicken salad sandwich in there, then I have a problem with that because you're infringing on my space. Same as if you're going to eat baked beans in there. It's the same thing.
It's not the same. That's not the same. Baked beans will be in a bowl and it's loud. You got a spoon. If I pull a chicken salad sandwich out, y'all not going to even hear
chicken
it.
Chicken salad's going to be like...
Even they're eating mayonnaise-based snacks. No.
Smelling like eggs.
I'm going to play this West Side Gun clip, man, because...
Yeah, do that.
You're going to have to rephrase this state, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting me frustrated. So check out what West Side Gun says as it relates to how he promotes his artists.
Okay.
Underground, a lot of eyes and ears are on you. And like I said, I'm right in that middle. So I know if I curate a project, Drake might listen to it. Travis might listen to it. Tyler might listen to it. Hov might listen to it. Nas might listen to it. Marshall might listen to it. So I do these albums so Hov can hear Rome. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Nas can hear Rome. So Marshall can hear Rome. Feel me?
And Drake definitely heard.
Been out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But now it's like, nah, since y'all paying attention to me, let me show you something.
And Drake paid attention.
So what caught me off guard with this is usually what I call the South's approach. We always talk about the South and you see upcoming artists, you see OGs, you see legends, but they're all in the same video. I think we mentioned this last week. They're always pushing somebody up. For him to say that coming from the East Coast, you just said everybody hates each other in New York. You just said that on the last conversation we were talking about. This really stood out to me from a standpoint of him actually trying to put people in positions the way the South does. Am I tripping? Because that's rare to me.
No.
For the East Coast.
No. I mean, I joke about that just because it just seems like nobody.
I'm serious, though. I don't see this coming from the New York.
Maybe just because it hasn't happened recently, but
I'm talking about in this era. I don't see it like I see it in the South. This stood out to me when he said that because this is the approach that I've always seen the South take. So for him to just come out and be like, yo, I want to put these dudes in positions.
I take that
so
back.
Drake can hear them and XYZ can hear them.
I was getting rated. The examples I gave were people who were already hot or had looks on them.
That's what
like,
I'm saying.
As opposed to just because you can't say, oh, well, Nicki did a song with Ice Spice. Well, Ice Spice was already,
she's
hot,
already
if not hotter than Nicki at the time, you know, and I was going to think, okay, well, you know, what about when Jay put Beanie Sigel in Memphis on, but it's like they already signed to his label.
Exactly.
And, you know, and they already had national look. So
I think this stands out. And I don't know if it's something, maybe I'm missing something and maybe it's
who else besides Rome Streets has he done this for? Armani Caesar.
Oh God.
Stove God. People on God. His label. Like who are we talking about?
Well, I mean, trying to think outside. You're talking outside of his brand.
Special
will count, definitely.
And this is not to diminish what West Side Gunn is doing.
I got you. I'm trying to think who else that he rocks with heavy that he's put in that position.
Who else is in the position that, like, who else can besides West Side Gunn can
that's
really
a,
do
that's
this?
That's what I was going to say, because when we're talking about somebody from the East, well, yeah, East Coast,
mm-hmm.
someone that everybody is kind of paying attention to,
mm-hmm.
he's pretty much the only person that can do that. But he's not the only person that's doing it. I mean, even in his own camp,
he's kind of unique.
Benny
though.
The Butcher is doing it with the Black Mafia family.
I think Black Sopranos.
Black Sopranos.
Yeah,
I mean.
Black Sopranos.
And he's got a dope song with Lil Wayne right now. He constantly is cool. talking about the guys he came up with and trying to put them out. ASAP Mob were doing the same thing in New York, essentially.
I think they were. Yeah, they were. I'm talking about, I guess I'm speaking more about right now.
But there's not really anybody out there that's
in that position
popping or in that position, like Long was saying, right now on the East Coast. And then even when we think about regionally in other places,
mm-hmm.
Down south, you got people that are running record labels like Yo Gotti, like even Rap-A-Lot still, that are still pushing people. I just don't think that it's something that's unheard of for somebody on the East Coast to do it, honestly. I think in his position, what he's saying is he's able to get the Jay-Z's and the Marshall Mathers
Drake.
and the Drakes and things like that to pay attention to who he's putting out.
I think
because they like him. You know what I'm saying? They know that he's putting out authentic music that people rock to, and he's popular right now. So they trust his judgment on that.
What if I said... First of all, I agree with you. But what if I said West Side Gunn being in the position that he's in, he doesn't necessarily have to throw the lobs that
he
he's
absolutely
throwing.
Does, though.
Yeah, he doesn't
because,
even
because they're associated with him.
Because
right?
of the type of artist that West Side Gunn is yeah. as well.
Okay. All right. I'm throwing it out there.
Now, again,
I'm throwing it out there.
I think it's great that he's doing it,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's some new thing. I think he's just, to your point, I think he's just highlighting the fact that he's just like putting spotlight on what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, this is, you know, he's like, maybe he's making an intentional effort
okay.
to make sure that he's going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he came to that realization like, oh, yeah, if I do this, these people are going to get that potential look. I mean, as an artist and myself, I've had these same thoughts many times when I put projects together and we feature certain people. It's just yeah. like, okay, cool. They're going to get a bit of a look, you know, for this. And I think that's what artists... That's why artists buy features in the first place.
I mean, that's his bag, though, if you think about it. He okay. started out by him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He knew he wasn't the strongest rapper because Benny and Conway both had situations going on. So he couldn't put them out like he wanted to. So he had to kind of carry the flag until they were ready to do it, too. But he always shined a light on those, too, to, you know what I'm saying, run the banner. You know what I'm saying? So I think this is what he's been on since the beginning.
Yeah. No, props to him. Kudos to him. Yeah. I think it's cool that he's doing it. He's in a unique position to where he's doing it at a high level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I guess my thing was more pointed towards the regional aspect because I don't hear, and like I said, maybe I'm not paying attention, but I don't hear people up north, if you will, just to openly talk like that. Like they're so open to making sure people get put in positions. But we see it all the time. They don't even have to say it in the South. It's just second nature at this point down there. It always happens down there.
Yeah, I don't really like the regional talk in general like that, but I don't know. Maybe it's a thing. I mean,
I get what y'all are saying, though, because, you know, it's his bag and, you know, he's got people that are associated with him. But it's just refreshing to hear somebody say, yo, I'm trying to throw these lobs. I want to make sure that XYZ gets a look because I know I have them. I
kind of think that every artist that is popular gets to that stage where they're trying to hand it off to somebody else. I mean, Eminem did it with D12.
He did.
Nelly did it with the Saint Lunatics.
Kinda.
Well, these are
Jay-Z.
I knew you
Jay-Z did
that.
It with State Property.
These are their crews, though, too.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, when you think about Dr. Dre, that's what his whole career has been built
his
on.
His whole career.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
Is like, hey, I heard this guy. I think you should hear him too.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Master P. I mean, you know, it's anybody that is like in the position to be like the head of the group or the head of the label who got the most shine out of everything. Yeah, mm-hmm. they put their people on.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Now, if West Side Gun was out here, like, putting randoms on his records,
okay,
then it would be something different, I think. But I think
that makes it, that makes it stand out.
I think he's doing just kind of more of the same, but he's being intentional about it. And I think there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's great. I don't want to diminish what he's doing at all.
I see where you're coming from. Like, if he's just plucking people out the air and just...
That's different.
That, like, that's different. Showed up here in Indianapolis and, you know, when they all came in, it was like, hey, I heard this dude at Treason. I'm going to put him on a record and I don't have any paperwork on him. That's different.
That's different. That's where I would be impressed. This is just like, yeah, good, good. Like, I think
what he's doing is
what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? So...
Put your people in position to win.
Absolutely.
I ain't mad at it. I got hype when I saw it because, you know... Don't see it too often, but I totally get what you guys are saying. It's a part of, you know.
I think it happens all the time.
Being an executive,
I think this is constantly happening. Personally,
yeah.
All right, well,
I'm just saying.
Shout out to him. Either way, that's dope that he's you know putting people on. But it just I don't know about the pocketbook, Terry. I don't know about that. But
yeah, I don't know.
It matched the bills at though.
Well,
let's see. Long, can we shout out our good old partners real quick, sir?
Sure.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
We're back.
And we don't have popsicles.
Shout out to the partners.
Oh, popsicle.
You all right over there, man?
Doing all right, man. Just thinking about the equations.
No, we don't.
A wild
we
equation.
Are not a-
Minimize time, which is 800 dudes multiplied by mean jerk time divided by 4 at a time.
We are not about to talk about equations.
Putting calculus to work in all the wrong ways.
It's the right ways.
It is not the right ways. We are
think
not.
Of what other applications that could be applied to.
Yeah.
If you think about that in general.
I'd rather not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm not afraid of them.
Luckily, there's
I don't need them.
Pause.
I mean, hey, you know.
See? Yeah. Yeah.
Luckily, just leave that alone. There's no grease board behind you or none of that. So we're not
grease
even about,
board. Huh?
Damn.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? What is a grease board?
You've never heard somebody say a grease board?
I've never heard.
You mean a dry erase board?
I heard somebody when I was in middle school, I heard somebody say grease board.
I ain't never heard a grease board.
I mean, he also says pocketbook.
I definitely say pocketbook.
So, I mean, you don't know where this.
Shout out to my.
Get some grease and you just wipe it off, huh?
And grease board. I think it was seventh grade.
He heard some random person say it. And
shout
it just
out
stuck
to
with
one person said it.
Yeah.
It was a teacher, though. It was
he
a teacher.
He said they call it that.
This is the Willie Nelson looking guy in seventh grade. Mr. Hatley.
O'Doyle rules.
Wow. Mr. Hatley wrote me up, man.
He wrote me up, too.
Yo, he wrote
me up for laughing at somebody.
Real quick, I got wrote up in the school where my mama was teaching at.
Oh, well.
By the time I was out in the hallway and going to, what was it called? ISD, when you get in trouble, in school detention. By the time I got there, the word had already filtered down.
Yeah, I bet.
To my mom's class and out, then I got kicked out of class. It was something stupid like Lone's talking about.
Embarrassing your mom at that schoolhouse.
Come on, man.
During a passing period, I'm sitting in ISD and my mom walks past the ISD door. Like, I'm sitting and I'm looking out the door. And she walked by real slow. This is petty. She walked by real slow and looked in there, kept on going. So now, in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know what's about to happen when I see my mama. I was very stressed out for the rest of the day, sir.
And then you can't explain. It's like, no, mom, people are tripping. Like, she work with them every day.
She didn't care, though.
She's got to know because Mr. Hatley, he wrote up 8 people at the same time. He just handed them out to random people. Like, somebody fell out of a chair, and I just laughed at it. And like, that's all I did. He wrote up our entire table.
That's funny.
Yeah. He wrote up the entire, I was like,
what? This is an industrial arts teacher, so we sitting up on these high tables.
We didn't do anything in that class.
Yeah.
But laugh at people.
Didn't do anything.
So, and but my mom, to her credit, and to Lone's point, she did say, well, you know, he tends to do that sometime, but she was like, you still probably did something wrong. I know you did. I said,
she get a whooping?
No, I ain't get no whooping. She
punishment.
She was on my head though. Yeah, she was.
It was the most random thing because I never got in trouble.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
And it was just like, where'd I go?
Hmm.
It was just you handed. I was like,
what do I do?
I guess I'll follow y'all. I don't know.
I have a referral. What is this?
Why am I in detention?
What am I being referred to?
Well, where do we take these?
I'm in detention for 3 days for laughing at somebody who fell out of a chair.
For 3 days, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
This dude right here was handing them out though, to Lone's point, man. He handed them out.
And he also had the reputation of drinking Jack Daniels and mixing it with his coffee in the morning.
In class. Yeah. Yes.
I mean I get it.
That's wild.
But no, you know, don't get it.
Looking like Willie Nelson.
Well, no, I tell you, I'm
it's
he's
crazy
educator.
You brought
that
up because my fifth grade teacher literally just passed. I seen him post it like 2 days ago. Shout out to him. But we used to suspect that he would carry a concoction in his thermos because he was always so cool in class.
Yeah.
Every day, didn't matter. I remember one time I got in a fight. He thought it was hilarious. He started calling me Mike Tyson.
That's not what you're supposed to do.
Not what you're supposed
to do. I didn't get in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're supposed to.
I didn't get in trouble, but he was so cool and laid back. We used to be like, man, what is in that thermos? I'm sure it probably was just coffee. Probably. But he was just too cool all the time.
Hey, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was Jack in that coffee cup for this teacher we talking about.
That was the rumor.
That's crazy.
Like this is a dude that's operating saws and... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, missing fingers. That'll tell the story right there.
He looked like Willie Nelson, man.
100%.
It was an entire half of the school year, and we didn't work on anything until like the last week of class.
Really?
You know how like you
made
just,
my name in wood, and that
yeah,
was
like
it.
It was like, all right, so before y'all get out of here for this semester, we're gonna finally do a project. Yep. Other than that, we was just kicking it.
Every
that
day.
Sounds awesome.
That does sound.
Is that one
awesome.
Of those classes where, like, if you failed, you was going.
You
wrong.
Really got to be trash to fail that class.
Did you get an A's at least for not doing anything?
I got a B for my project.
How?
I'm like, man, like
that ain't even fair.
He didn't like my sculpture
woodwork.
Yeah, my woodwork. Yeah, I didn't have the girth right on the S.
See,
no, I shouldn't have said that. Should have.
Nope.
All right.
Yeah. Because it'll happen.
Somebody will eat them.
That's what you get.
Yeah.
Bring all that right. Goddamn crack.
Yeah, man.
Is that what it is?
It's crack.
Yeah.
It's juicy. It's tasty.
Yeah.
All right, pause. Man.
Pause.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that clip again. I'm trying to get that clip out of my head.
That wasn't associated with that clip, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Thank God, man.
You can eat four at a time if you want.
Why would you say that?
Because I think it's hilarious when people get a little weird about like when people get uncomfortable about it, it's just funny.
Yeah.
Let's talk J. Cole, man.
Shout out to everybody who watches and listens to the show.
I know, right? Like they gonna love this full episode on this one because my man Lone is out here acting a plum fool. All right, so J. Cole was having first of all, did y'all y'all see Soulja Boy get mad at J. Cole for no reason?
He apologized.
Did he apologize? Good for him if he did.
He had like multiple spats.
Well, Nicki Minaj pretty much told him he didn't mean nothing by that. He was actually giving you props.
Because I saw
he jumped out the window.
I saw the comment, and when he came around, he still was giving him his flowers, his peas at the end. But yeah. I totally understood what he was saying about this is what I was listening to. And he also came back and was like, yo, I had to understand that these dudes do this well. And it worked. And
I mean, he literally said, I was being a hater.
Yeah, he said that.
He didn't say I hate Soulja Boy. He said I was being a hater.
But Soulja Boy,
can we preface this whole segment by
slight.
We should probably preface this segment about what we're talking about.
Preface.
Though. Well, what I wanted to talk about was something that he said about with an interview with Lil Yachty that caught my attention, and this relates to how he goes about his features. So, and this blew my mind. He said, and this is in relation to him and why he doesn't pay for features. He doesn't charge people for features.
Talking about Mr. Jermaine.
So he's like, yo, bro, it's just a bar, bro. Like a lot of my bars be really on point, but it's just a flex. I'm not going to charge an N-word $2,000 a word. I don't even charge N-words for that verse I'm doing. He's like, I'm just inspired to do it. Like I don't charge people to do verses. And this, the reason I'm using Soulja Boy as an example, because he also, on the other side, said if you want a verse, it's going to cost you $1 million.
Ain't nobody paying Soulja Boy no $1 million for nothing.
It's going to cost you $100K if you want him to go to the club.
You think Kanye paid him $1 million to not use that verse? He was in his feelings about Ye not using that verse, and I'm sure it was whack.
$100K for a show, $1 million for a verse.
Okay.
Right?
Stay off the lean, kids.
So here, I'm going to play Devil's
Advocate.
Two part question here. I'm gonna play devil's advocate on one part, but the first part speaks to J. Cole being who he is. Are you guys shocked that he doesn't charge for verses?
Nah, yes. I'm not.
Jay-Z you are.
Jay-Z don't charge for verses.
Well, you know what? I take that back because J. Cole has sold enough records, mm-hmm. and he is done enough big shows to where he does this out of actual competition. He's one of the people, once again, I don't think J. Cole is rapping to eat, so he has a different mentality. So I it doesn't really surprise me.
But initially, you were going to say you are surprised. You were surprised.
I had to rethink about where J. Cole is in the overall hip-hop marketplace. And if he actually vibes with an artist and wants to do something with him, then he's not going to charge him. He's going to do it. I mean, of course, there's back-end paperwork that he's going to take care of, but as far as like charging something up front, if he vibes with the artist and actually wants to be on a song, I could very much see him not charging.
He's very much somebody who wants to control his own IP in that aspect, so I think he's just going to do what he wants to do.
Like, I don't think you can throw a bag at him and say, get on Young School Shooter's new song.
Nope, he ain't going to do it.
He's not going to do it, yeah. That's fair. What you think, Terry, in terms of him not charging for the verses? Doesn't shock you either?
Not surprised. Like I said, Jay-Z don't charge either. If he don't like you, he just ain't gonna hop on your track.
You don't need the money. Like
it's dope that he actually cares about what he jumps on.
Yeah, so I think this whole pay for a feature thing is, I don't want to say it's new, but it for the longest time it was just like trading. Like you would trade. All right, cool. You want to do a verse on my thing? Cool. I'll do a verse on your thing, and they would swap verses, and that's how you would pay for it. You know,
handle the paperwork on the back end and just go from there.
You know, when this really became an issue,
because I know Dirk threw a number out a while back. I can't remember what the number was, so I'm not going to misquote it, but it was a decent amount for a feature from Dirk. Go ahead.
Snoop's feature's high, you know.
You know, when this became an issue, I think, is when Mace didn't show up for the Cam'ron video. He's like, okay, I did the verse, but I need this much money to still even show up for the video.
Yeah.
You know.
And I remember that.
They didn't speak for a long time just based off of that alone. Yeah. You know, because they're supposed to be people. There is a separate situation, because sometimes people will, the record companies, and this, it may not even been Mace's fault, you know, because sometimes the record companies will sign off on a feature.
Yeah.
But then won't sign off on you being in the video, because maybe you have a single out at that same time and they don't want to oversaturate and say, oh, well, if we got a single we're trying to push, we don't want so-and-so to be on someone else as a feature, because the radio program director might pick between one of the two and it won't be us.
Right.
So there have been situations like that to where you know, there has to be certain paperwork to even sign off on something as a single. You know, people have gotten their singles shut down because they have a feature and there's not a priority enough for them to put that out as a single. It's like I said, capitalism.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
No, for sure. Because at the same time, think about an artist that, you know, you get you up for money.
Yeah.
What if you start to realize, oh, man, I got to make this money back. Cool. Yeah. They got this single allocated, but they know that, you know, all right, if I shoot a video and I can charge them for the video too at the same time, maybe I can get a little bit more of that money back. So there's lots of things at potential play here. So
part two of this.
Okay.
You heard J. Cole say, I'm doing this is because I'm inspired to do it. So that's where he's at. He just loves, obviously he loves being a creative. With Soulja Boy saying his meal and his 100K and all that, does that mean that Soulja Boy is any less inspired because he's focusing on the bread?
Yeah.
Because somebody, I'm not going to say people, I'm just saying this is the conversation that I had.
With people.
It's the quality of the product. I mean,
yeah, that was my argument. But the conversation was, it doesn't mean that Soulja Boy is not as inspired to make music. It's just that he want to get his paper.
Well, you're not going to make that $1 million back by paying Soulja Boy for a feature. Ain't nobody checking for Soulja Boy right now.
Inspiration and product are different kind of ideas. Like being inspired to create something versus being inspired to make money are different things. And they come from different.
Like absolutely.
They come from different places.
What I'm thinking is that person was trying to draw the parallel to say, well, Soulja Boy is an artist as well. He's just as artisty, if you want to call it. I agree. But as J. Cole is, he just wants his paper also. And I'm like, nah, I don't know if it works.
You can be both, but that's not the case here.
That's what I'm saying.
If we take it away from Soulja Boy, like, remember, like, you know, people said, you know, Busta was like, I have pioneered the feature.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how much work he did before his first album came out. He would jump on a little bit of everything. And
true.
He's probably like, let me get $10,000, let me get $5,000. Like, for some people, it really is a hustle as far as getting your name on things, getting featured, and getting that upfront money. Because honestly,
he said that
you're not going to get that upfront money from your record company.
He said that.
So let me get it from these other record companies. My feature is a part of your budget, and I don't have to pay any of that money back. you know, whether you get to pay that money back, hey, that's on you. But here, I'm gonna really do a fire hook, or I'm gonna do this, and I have a little bit of heat right now, so it might make it in the mix show, or maybe even be something that makes it into A or B rotation because I'm on it. And then you can start to increase your price based on that. Once again, if you're still in a position where you're rapping to eat, I'm not mad at you for having a set price for you to jump on something. Right. You know, J. Cole, if he doesn't record anything else, he's going to be fine. I don't, you know, I'm not counting his pockets. I don't know where he's at right now financially, but he doesn't seem like a person who's outliving, you know, his means. He still looks like, you know, he buys his shoes, his clothes and shoes from Target. Not his shoes. He's one of those dudes who always has nice shoes. But like,
yeah, y'all don't shop at the same shoe store.
No, he's not spinning the wheel to get his shoes. But you know, when you see, he just wears like regular sweatsuits, you know, like he's not somebody that has to, you know, be iced out, and like he's not trying to keep up with the Joneses.
I know somebody would be mad at J. Cole because he's gonna be iced out. You know, the same person.
I do.
It's a weird thing to be upset at.
That is very weird. Causing fake they, about it too.
That they won't spend the money in the foolish manner in which you would spend it.
Yeah. You might want to look deep inside of yourself.
Long being on the therapy wave. That person might have to sit down and talk to somebody on that one, because I don't understand.
That's wild energy.
That's wild energy to be mad that somebody doesn't dress flashy as an adult.
Why would you care what another man dresses as?
Listen, man.
Lone, that's weird, brother. And that's plus, weird.
If you've been paying attention at all, you know he got it in a bank somewhere. He doesn't have to wear it on his ass.
True.
You know, some of you basically.
That's poverty, man.
Everything you got is what is it? You wearing everything you
poverty.
Got.
Shout out to Slot A.
Yeah, shout out to Slot A. That's poverty.
You know, it's the mindset of that, you know, that $100,000 car gets you from point A to point B is, you know, the same way that $5,000 car gets you from point A to point
same
B.
Same way that bicycle does sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, like, because you look, I've been driving and there'll be somebody with the V8 or the V12 and they'll be. And they speed up to get to the same red light that I'll be
same
right
one.
At. Yeah, so it doesn't, you know, but some people's mentality towards that is just
that's a luxury.
Skewed. You know, it's a luxury, and I'm not begrudging.
I mean, if you can afford it, brother, by all means, I ain't going to count your pockets. Go do what you do. Go get it.
Because trust me, there are things that I have and we all have that, you know, that we like to spend money on that we don't need. We just like it.
Yeah,
true. You know, so.
Crack.
Dang. Is that a good? I don't know what type of investment that is.
I don't need all them hockey jerseys.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I like.
Different levels of crack.
You know, yeah, you're right.
So remember, I referenced Jay's interview. We talked about Book of Hove and his interview with, was it Gayle King?
Yeah. Yes.
One thing that he mentioned was making meaningful music. And he also mentioned helping people in the community, helping other creatives. But my question would be, because as a fan, I'm biased. I would love to hear another record of him making, quote unquote, meaningful music. But I don't know what would be more impactful. The Jay that is the executive, the person that can sew back into the culture and create labels and create whatever. Or is it the guy that can just put out another album and inspire people that way? What do you think would be more impactful? Which move would be more impactful? Because he talked about address both. You know, he wants to, you know.
Certainly not the album.
Not the album at this point?
No, not at this point.
So at this point, Jay dropping an album is not going to be as impactful as what he can do as the executive.
What do we consider impact? Impacting whom?
For the album or just in general?
And either.
Okay.
We're talking about impact, so define it.
Impact would be aspiring artists. Impact would be current creatives that are involved in the culture at certain levels. Impact would be from a business standpoint, people that are aspiring to be a part of hip hop. And then he also mentioned black culture as well. So, you know, if you want to say black creatives, then you can say that as well. I think the album would hit, Jay. I think the album would hit. I'm not going to say as impactful, but I think the album would hit at this point because it's been a little bit. And it people has. Always want to know what he's talking about.
I think it would, but I'll just be honest. For lack of a better term, the whole idea of grown man rap, people who are speaking from the perspective of people who have lived to a certain place and are comfortable with themselves in the place that they're in. As much as we love Michael, the Killer Mike album, it hasn't, you know, people don't talk about it as much as they should. As much as, you know, I remember, you know, one of the first episodes I came on was the 444 episode.
Yeah.
We talked about that album,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't think people really, I mean, especially after it lost all 8 Grammys it was nominated for. It was like, there are people who just, you know, who don't like that album. It doesn't touch them in the way it would, you know, when Jay was rapping for, he always had that content. But then, like, when he does an album that where he doesn't care if any of the songs go to the club or go to radio, where he's just doing records that are not only personable but meaningful to the culture and people who are of a certain age, just doesn't have the same impact as when he did Hard Knock Life, as far as like how many people were involved in it. And like,
I think 444 was, I'm sorry, go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with that. I think there's definitely an avenue and a lane for that type of hip hop.
There's an avenue for it, definitely.
We all are pretty much products of hip hop that have grown in it. You know what I'm saying? So we're still here and we're still listening. We're actually kind of grabbing for the grown man style hip hop because that's where we're at in life. So we don't want to necessarily hear a Hard Knock Life from Jay-Z because he's not living a Hard Knock Life. I want to hear the introspective grown Jay-Z that's been through things that can still put you up on game about certain stuff. I mean, that's just like, you brought up Michael. You got Fontaine, Lil Brother, and them. You got Nas doing the same thing now. I figure anybody that is still out here and able to do hip hop in the purest form and still be talking about something should keep on going.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that he shouldn't keep on going. I would love to hear a Jay-Z project. I'm just saying what his impact can be outside of the booth and, you know, trying to sell me a CD and being on tour.
Yeah,
I think is much greater as far as like the initiatives he has with, you know, prison reform.
That's what I'm looking for.
Where I'm looking for when he talks about, you know, he's had some missteps as far as like his social initiative programs with the NFL. You know, I think the one thing that's really going to dog him, you know, probably, you know, because when they talk about his story is the fact that we're beyond kneeling.
Oh, yeah, that's not going anywhere. That's going
to
always be
right. I mean, I, you know, and it's fine to have missteps, you know what I'm saying? Because I think what he has done as far as like, you see some of the initiatives the NFL has taken on as far as social justice that honestly that aren't really talked about, you know, that's Jay-Z's impact. So I think outside of selling me a 50-minute CD, the things that he's working on as far as financial empowerment, you know, actually talking to people about, you know, how to, and not just people who are already rich. You know, that's the thing. Like, you can, there's only so much you could do for people who are already rich. You know, but when you talk about the actual social initiatives that he's a part of and he can bring light to, I think those are things that he can do every day, or he can talk about those things on a regular basis. You know, for him to, I'd rather him go to the Breakfast Club or whatever platform and talk about those things as opposed to like, oh, this was my inspiration on track 13 of my new album. Don't get me wrong, I love stuff like that, but I think
overall, the
actual impact that someone like Jay-Z could have is so much greater outside of actual music.
I think he can do both. Because even in that same interview, he spoke on being in a place of being vulnerable and being able to put that on record. And he brought up 444 as that example. He's saying, too, that he's not done with music until he's not either inspired or pretty much just can't do it, doesn't have the love for it. He still has both. So he's like, I'm still out here. So whenever something comes out, it just comes out. But we're not pressing. He's not pressing himself for it. So I kind of respect him for that because he's not just trying to turn out something just so the streets can have it. It's more so when I'm feeling a certain type of way and I got that energy in me, I'm going to give it to you.
And plus, he did like an album a year for a long time.
He did.
You know.
I lose sight of that sometimes, how much product he put out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and this is when, like, basically everybody was taking, you know, between 2 and 3 records off, years off between records.
Yeah.
You know, from that, you know, from Reasonable Doubt through probably the Black Album. That was
every year.
I like what you highlighted about his outside of music stuff, because there's a lot of impact there. Sometimes we don't see it because sometimes it's a lot of his stuff is behind the scenes. He's not pushing a lot of stuff up to the forefront, but he's still getting stuff done. So, but that album definitely would be well received.
I would go to it immediately if they said, you know, day after Thanksgiving, Jay-Z's putting out an album. I'd be like, okay, I'm staying up to listen, just like I did for Kendrick. Even the people who claim they hate Jay-Z, they have to listen so they can hate constructively. So, I mean,
Even the Jay-Z haters up at midnight, huh?
Exactly. So they can tear it apart.
All right, well, shout out to Hov, man. I don't know what the next play is going to be, but as a hip hop fan and enthusiast, I'll be waiting.
What are your top five favorite rappers?
Dylon.
Do you know your top five favorite rappers?
No. I can name them, but it's going to change.
Who are your top five favorite rappers?
In today's climate?
Right now.
In today's climate?
Right now.
Ice Spice, Glorilla.
No. Quit lying. Right now.
He's lying.
Who's your top five favorite rappers right now?
Don't put me on a spot like that.
Right now.
Andre 3000, Kendrick, Scarface, Jay-Z.
That's four. Personal favorites, not top five, meaning
those are personal
your
favorites.
Your personal favorites. Like if Ice Spice is on there for you and you love her, that's great.
Okay. Personal favorite.
Personal favorite. Tupac. Top five. Tupac, Jay, Scarface, Kendrick. Andre, and Kendrick.
Yep.
Damn, this is quick too. Three Stacks.
Mm-hmm.
Common.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Terry making me look bad because he named his. That's three in it. Two more. Jay and Nas. I'll take that.
Common.
Yep.
Fonte.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Ice Cube.
Yep.
Jay-Z.
Uh-huh.
Heavy D. Okay.
I'm not mad at that.
Pretty good. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm waiting on you.
And I ended in Ice. Ghostface is my.
I forgot.
Ooh, Ghostface is in my top five. I'm sorry.
Ghost.
Ice Cube, you gotta be a six man on the.
I forgot
you
about be six, Ghost.
My six man.
I have 10. Number one, Tigolo.
Shout out to Tigolo.
Fonte is my personal favorite. Two is Andre 3000.
Okay.
Three is Royce da 5'9". Four. Is Pete Sake.
My man.
Five is Black Thought. Six is Sean Price.
How you gonna say five and then he's really gonna do 10?
He is.
Sean Price. Seven is Kendrick Lamar. Eight is Lupe Fiasco.
Oh.
Nine is, Odyssey. Odyssey's number nine. And then number 10 was hard because I feel like 10 is a mixture between Slick Rick, Ghostface. No, it's got to be Common because Common's got my favorite hip hop album. So he's got to be up there, right?
Yeah, it has to be somewhere. Do you have a personal favorite since we're doing personals? How would you apply it to producers?
I feel like
because I know
always,
one.
This always changes, but I would probably say my top favorite.
Yeah, just
with everything would be the cliche. It would probably have to be J Dilla. It would just probably have to be. And then two would probably be Exile.
I knew he was going to say Exile. I knew you were going to say Exile.
Yeah, those are probably one and two. I wish Exile would put out more records.
I agree.
But yeah, those two guys, you know.
You put me up. You made me realize how dope Exile is. I'm talking about outside of Below the Heavens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a monster.
I didn't realize he was that dope. Yeah, that dude is a problem.
Not everybody can chop like him. He chops jazz records really well.
So nah, he's a fool.
I'd have to really, really.
It's harder
think
than you think, huh?
Producer's a little bit harder.
Yeah,
I think
a little bit. You can run off some.
Nope.
Okay, Jay Moore, can you run off?
I can run off,
but it would change. Yeah, it would change.
Fair enough.
But it's not something that I sit with. You know what I'm saying? Whereas artists, I mean, because they're using all kind of different producers, but these artists are still showing out regardless.
Yeah. True.
On that note.
Yeah.
NewOldHeads.com.
That went on entirely too girth.
Yeah.
For all the education you need this year. Make sure you see it. You like it. Subscribe. Shout out to the chat. We appreciate you if you stuck around. We still love y'all. Sign up for Patreon when you see it.
And
we'll
please.
See y'all. Please. And we'll see y'all next week.
All right.
Peace.